The voting rights group Four Directions has requested funds from the Help America Vote Act to pay for early voting stations in three of the state's reservation communities, but the State Board of Elections has turned down the request. Secretary of State Jason Gantz says he needs an advisory from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission to authorize the use of the funds for the satellite voting centers. In just a bit, we'll talk with Secretary Gantz and Four Directions spokesman Brett Healy, but first, for an overview, we're joined by reporter and columnist Jonathan Ellis, who's been covering the story for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And Jonathan, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Hey, Carl, thanks.
Well, first of all, what are the important issues in this story that we have to keep in mind?
Well, starting last week, Four Directions had gotten on the Board of Elections agenda for one of their meetings and simply requested that that the Secretary and the Board endorse a plan to use Help America Vote Act money to establish early voting centers in three communities, and the cost they estimated would have been, you know, less than $50,000 to do that, and it basically would have been 46 days before the election, and that would have added, you know, in-person early voting satellite offices for those communities, which are predominantly Native American.
And you mentioned that, and we've been mentioned the Help America Vote Act. What is that?
You know, that was, if you recall, the 2000 election, presidential election. You know, Congress allocated, I want to say, roughly about $3 billion in 2002 to help basically states modernize voting, so that you didn't have some of the things that happened in 2000. So modernize voting, make it easier for people to vote, that kind of thing. And so the state of South Dakota got a share of that money, and has roughly, my understanding is, has roughly about $9 million sort of just sitting in a bank. And Four Directions' contention is that, you know, the interest that that money earns wouldn't, I mean, the $50,000 per election, it would, you know, that would be just a small dent in the interest that $9 million earns.
And now this, we mentioned the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, and this is the group that authorizes the funds, and this was established as part of the Help America Vote Act?
Yeah, I mean, their job is a couple of different areas, but I mean, they, for example, in voting systems, they've expressed, like on technical aspects in terms of electronic voting, things like that. But what it's really, it's kind of a dead zombie type organization, because, you know, it has commissioners that are appointed, supposed to be four commissioners. They don't have any commissioners. Now, the commissioners, I'm told, by the office, are the only ones who can approve a request for an advisory opinion, which is what Secretary of State Gantz asked for last week. It's just kind of a somewhat absurd request, because you can't get an answer because there are no commissioners to answer that.
And we'll talk with Secretary Gantz in just a few minutes about that. Now, do you know how other states have dealt with the HAVA funds?
Oh, you know, in a variety of different ways. Again, some updated, modern, you know, voting equipment. I there have been a variety of ways in which states have used those funds.
Now, this issue about getting the satellite absentee voting centers, is this a new issue, or has this been something that's been ongoing in the state?
You know, this has been an ongoing issue, particularly in Shannon and Todd counties. I mean, the state has agreed to use HAVA money to establish early voting centers in Shannon and Todd counties. Now, Secretary Gantz makes the distinction that these are different because they don't have courthouses in Shannon and Todd. So they don't have the residents of those counties. Unlike every you know, all the other counties, there are courthouses where you can go if you live in that county and go in absentee vote, basically, in-person absentee vote. And, you know, I think the Secretary's position is that, you know, Shannon and Todd didn't have those opportunities because they don't have courthouses, so they have agreed to set up early vote centers at least through 2018 in Shannon and Todd counties using HAVA money. And I think the Secretary, this is an interesting thing. I mean, you know, you can see both sides of this. You know, you could argue that very easily that in the three communities where Four Directions is requesting additional money, you could say, well, hey, they have the same opportunity as everybody else. You know, they have early voting at the county courthouse. On the other hand, you know, that you're dealing with a class of a voter that's protected under the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and you know, realistically, we know that there are sort of transportation problems for some people in those communities to get to a county courthouse. So it's an interesting situation for sure.
Well, Jonathan, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday, and we'll talk a little bit more about this issue.
Okay, thanks, Carl.
Thank you so much. With us on the line is Secretary of State Jason Gant. And Secretary, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
And also joining the program is Brett Healy, spokesperson for the voting rights group Four Directions. And Mr. Healy, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you so much.
Well, Secretary Gant, here we are talking about what your positions are, and we actually have you on the line here. You can speak for yourself here. But first of all, from last week's meeting, why did the State Board of Elections reject the Four Directions request for those additional in-person voting locations, the funding for that?
Well, I voted no during the Board of Elections meeting because I wanted to gather more information before a decision was made. And I think that's the important piece of information that we have to do is gather everything we can so that we can make an educated and correct decision.
And what sort of information are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for whether or not this a second absentee in-person voting location is an allowable expense under the Help America Vote Act. That's why the Election Assistance Commission is the federal agency that is required to answer those questions. So that's why I wanted to ask them on what their advice was.
Well, Secretary Gant, since there aren't enough commission members to make a ruling, do you expect to hear anything regarding that?
Yes, I expect to hear from the Election Assistance Commission on whether it's a yes, whether it's a no, whether it's a we're not able to answer this question today. In the Help America Vote Act, which is a federal piece of legislation that was passed back in 2002, the only agency listed in that federal act is the Election Assistance Commission, and that is the only location where I can ask for assistance on whether or not a particular election activity is a reimbursable HAVA funding opportunity.
And if you can't, if you don't hear from them, or if they can't make a ruling, is there a next step, or is there something else that you can do?
Well, that's what we're going to explore once we hear back from them on whether or not there are other options. It's possible that they've been advising states that just because we can't answer something, maybe you can ask this entity. But we have to wait and see on what their response is.
Well, Mr. Healy, here's the question that Secretary Gant asked. Why does the Four Directions need these additional absentee voting centers?
Well, it's not the Four Directions needs these centers. Mm-hmm. It is tribal governments, the Ogallala Sioux Tribe, the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, and the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe have made requests of their county governments to provide a satellite voting office. It's important to point out that in each of these three instances, the native community is larger than the county seat. In the instance of Cheyenne River, it's three times larger than Timber Lake, the proposed site in Eagle Butte. And in the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe, Fort Thompson is roughly 100 times bigger than the county seat. So actually most of the folks in Buffalo County are at the west end of the county, live in and around Fort Thompson, and of course is a very heavily Native American community. In the instance of Jackson County, Wombly is about 10 to 15% bigger than Jackson County. Wombly is 95%+ Native American, and Kadoka is 87%+ non-Indian or Caucasian or Anglo. That's important to note. There's a couple of key things here. First and foremost, South Dakota, as every state in the nation, has to be in compliance with the Voting Rights Act of 1965 as amended, and that is linked to HAVA requirements. HAVA itself states that a state must be in compliance with the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So there's that component. We certainly view the Secretary's actions to request assistance or an advisory opinion from an entity that he knows cannot answer it. Not only the press stories, but we called it out to his attention the day after the Board of Elections meeting, where we were offering to try to provide tribal government input into any request for further assistance. So there is a requirement under HAVA that the state be under compliance with the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and one can make a pretty strong case that that's not the case right now, as Secretary Gantt is the defendant in a lawsuit relative to voting satellite voting offices down in Shannon County. Shannon County, Fall River County, and Secretary are co-defendants in that case. Also, and extraordinarily important, there's been an opportunity for the Secretary to if he was going to make the request of the EAC, he could have made that on May 11th and May 12th after receiving a letter from the Buffalo County Commission asking about this very issue. So this further delay of waiting for a dead agency, or in the Argus leader's terms, a zombie agency to respond, is a pretty good delaying tactic. In light of that, and in light of the fact that the Secretary did in fact vote against this plan as it was proposed last week to the Board of Elections, and the Board of Elections as a body did so as well, O.J. Siemens, the Executive Director for Four Directions, is in the middle of preparing a letter informing the Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice of likely violations of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and violations of the Help America Vote Act. Four Directions is reaching out to a live federal agency, not a zombie. And as your reporters may go on the website of the Civil Rights Division, you'll find more than a few cases in which the Civil Rights Division has brought action under both the Voting Rights Act and the Help America Vote Act. Delay is not in anybody's interest here. These funds are available. The Secretary, frankly, has the discretion. The state have a plan, the current one, grants him that discretion, and the former occupant of the office used his discretion to authorize payments for satellite voting in Shannon and in Todd County, and chose to use his discretion to make a distinction between counties that had a courthouse and counties that did not. But it's important to note that even though satellite offices in Todd and Shannon County have come only at the insistence, in some instances, Four Directions has paid money to make sure that the costs were covered. That is, in fact, how this concept initially was launched in 2004 in both Shannon and Todd counties, with Four Directions paying the freight. And in 2010, with negotiation with Todd County, Todd County chose to fund it themselves and was able to receive reimbursement from HAVA funds at the state level. And in 2010, through a lot of political wrangling, Four Directions did in fact pay for the cost of a limited 22-day partial hours per day satellite office in Shannon County. It is only in 2012 that full satellite offices in both those counties came to be. In Todd County's case, it was as a result of a request from Four Directions. They chose to authorize that going forward for every election. In Shannon County's case, it was only at the threat of litigation that they chose to establish a satellite office in 2012, and that case has yet to settle. So that's the view from the request and the denial of the Secretary of State and the Board of Elections last week. In the interest of everybody's time and effort, we think it needs to be elevated into a federal agency that can, in fact, answer the question, and that is the Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice.
Well, Secretary Gantt, want to give you an opportunity to respond. And first of all, do you have is it within your power as a Secretary of State to release the HAVA funds?
There are many, many rules and regulations regarding the use of Help America Vote Act funds. Give you a perfect example. Today, in our election process, we obviously have absentee voting by mail. Almost 100,000 South Dakotans over the past election voted through the absentee process, whether it was in person at the county auditor or whether it was by mail. Now, those two examples, and especially the mail, because a lot of people understand how you can request an absentee ballot and then receive that in the mail, that entire process is not an allowable expense under the Help America Vote Act. So when you take that example, plus you take back in 2010 when my predecessor, Secretary Nelson, determined that a county was not going to be allowed to have a second absentee voting location. You compile that with the responsibilities of what we can and cannot spend HAVA funding on, plus the fact that only the Election Assistance Commission, according to the Help America Vote Act, is the entity that we have to go through to begin this process. Now, the request was denied in 2010. Nothing was denied in 2012. I think it's important to note, and for the listeners to understand, is that South Dakota law does not prohibit the act of having a second or a third additional in-person absentee voting location. South Dakota law today allows that. However, the issue here is the funding. Now, in 2012, Mr. Healy's group, Four Directions, they funded these activities, and they conducted those in cooperation with the county auditors. So again, they can continue to do this type of activity, but the issue becomes is whether or not we can use our Help America Vote Act funds for this activity. And that's why we have very strict rules on what we can and cannot spend that money on. And when you think about absentee voting by mail, that is a very big, big point. And also, today we have three counties that are requesting the use of this funds. I can definitely imagine where the other, all 66 counties are going to inquire about this. If every county wanted to do this and wanted to use the Help America Vote Act funds, and again, I don't even know if it's an allowed expense, but if it is, and if all the other counties wanted it, that would cost about $1 million a year. Well, the funding is going to dry up for this fund, and then that future expense is going to lay right there on the taxpayers of each of these counties. And from what I've heard with some counties, I mean, they're struggling right now with their finances. To add $1 million statewide, that's going to be a huge chunk of change in the future.
Is this, would if this happens, say, you know, all 66 counties or even just these three counties that we're talking about, these is this a year-by-year, election-year-by-election-year, or is this an ongoing situation?
Well, first of all, we have to figure out whether or not the funding is going to be allowed. Now, if the funding is allowed, there's a lot of different options that we'd have to go over and discuss and determine. I mean, this HAVA fund today is not just sitting there collecting interest. Yes, we are collecting interest. However, that money is being used for essential county services that is uniform all across all 66 counties. And I'm very proud of the fact that the 2012 election was the first time that all 66 counties were able to have 46 days of absentee voting. It didn't matter if it was an Indian reservation or a non-Indian reservation. Every single county in the state had the same access, and I'm very proud of that. And I think we need to continue with these types of steps to ensure that all South Dakotans are able to exercise their right to vote and make sure that they have adequate access to their voting booths on election day.
Well, Secretary, again, one question. I'm wondering if this sort of creates the perception that the state doesn't want Native Americans to vote. I'm wondering if that, you know, just if a group feels marginalized, if this could this perception could harm the election process. And is this something that needs to be addressed?
I go back to the 2012 election. I'm very proud of the fact that as Secretary of State, for the first time in years and years and years and maybe decades, that every South Dakotan was treated fairly and was treated the same with a uniform process to ensure that no one was disenfranchised on their election rights. And I think that's something that we should be very proud of, and we're going to continue moving in that direction. Right now we're preparing for the 2014 election to make sure everyone is up to speed on what the election laws are, to make sure that for anyone who wants to vote by absentee, if you want to vote by mail or you want to vote by in person, you know exactly how the process works and what type of photo identification you need, and you're able to cast your ballot.
Mr. Healy, do you feel that on the reservations there is access to voting? There are no barriers or few barriers?
Well, let's clarify, first of all, it's not feelings. This is a matter of law and of equity. The Secretary is proud that 2012 was the first time that all residents in South Dakota at least had a early voting office in their county, and he's specifically talking about Shannon and Todd County. I think it's important to note that the secretary was late to the party there, was requested by Shannon County voters time and again to assist, and until there was a lawsuit and a federal court hearing, that process didn't come together in terms of allowing HAVA funds for that process. Further, and again, back to the it's a simple question. If does the Secretary of State affirm that the state of South Dakota is in full compliance with the Voting Rights Act of 1965? The current lawsuit would suggest not, and frankly, the distinction between counties with courthouses and without doesn't go to the heart of the Voting Rights Act, which is equal access for minority voters, in this case, the protected class of Native American voters in South Dakota. Let's take, for example, the very strong case of Jackson County and of Buffalo County. In Jackson County's case, in order to have the same equal in-person absentee voting and voter registration opportunities as the residents of Kadoka, which is the county seat and the second largest community in the county, voters in and around the Wombly area are going to have to travel a 54-mile round tripper, which with IRS mileage rates, the valuation of that's somewhere in the $27 to $29 range for transportation to get there and back. That's a barrier. And because the Native American residents of the southern half of Jackson County have less disposable income than the mainstream population, that puts a further burden, and that is part and parcel of the inequality for those voters as compared to mainstream voters. Take the example of Buffalo County. Again, it frankly doesn't make any sense to have the in-person voting office in Gan Valley, a community of 12 in a county of 85% Native Americans where almost everybody's living over in Fort Thompson. Even from a practical aspect, that doesn't make sense. But again, it's a 50-mile round tripper, a $25 to $27 cost, and you, by golly, you better have gas when you leave Fort Thompson because there's no place to get gas in Gan Valley. So the equality, no, it's not there. And Voting Rights Act requires that. We made this effort toward moving this because the HAVA money could be used. The other question I'd have for the secretary and for the listeners, he states that the former secretary had determined that these weren't allowable HAVA expenses. The core of the issue is what authority did Chris Nelson rely upon to do that? He did not seek out a EAC advisory opinion. There's not one on point on this issue. The fact is, Secretary Nelson, from his own court depositions in the Brooks versus Gant case, indicated he used his own discretionary authority as under the state HAVA plan, as under HAVA as a federal act. That is where things stand. And again, simple question for the secretary, is South Dakota in full compliance with the Voting Rights Act of 1965? Because if it's not, it's in violation of the HAVA Act as well.
Well, we're just about out of time here, but Mr. Healy, thanks for joining us. Secretary Gant, do you care to respond to the question?
When you look at the entire process of our elections in South Dakota, we really have to look at 2012. It was a phenomenal election, and I'm going to continue working very hard to try and ensure that everyone has equal access to the ballot box. No matter if you're in a big town or a small town, we want to make sure that everyone has uniform access, and I think that's the right direction to go, and we're going to keep working to make sure our elections are as good as they can here in South Dakota.
Well, Secretary Gant, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
And Mr. Healy, thanks for your time as well.
Thank you very much.